T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
FM News Talk 97.1 On Demand Audio.
The host of the show that you know on Fox News, The Next Revolution, it's Steve Hilton. Steve, thank you so much for coming on today and lending your expertise to this issue and a lot of the other issues that are taking place in Europe right now.
It's a pleasure. Great to be with you.
So what was your reaction yesterday to that survival of that no confidence vote for the British Prime Minister?
Well, the big point is that it doesn't really change anything, because fundamentally, the reason that Theresa May is so politically vulnerable and everyone wants to get rid of her is that she's delivered something that actually undermines the vote that people cast 2 years ago in 2016 to leave the European Union. The agreement she's reached with the European Union is not actually Brexit. And that's why you've got so many people ranged against her. But the problem is Parliament, the British Parliament, is completely out of touch with the people, because the people voted to leave the European Union, but a majority of members of Parliament, including, if you add together Conservatives and Labour, want to stay. And that is a fundamental issue here. So even though she survived, the problem is the agreement that she's reached cannot pass the British Houses of Parliament. She can't get it through. And she's not going to get any more concessions out of the EU, because the EU always wanted to make this process as painful as possible for the UK to deter anyone else from trying to do the same thing. That was obvious. That's why I've argued all along that you need a clean break. Don't bother negotiating with the EU. The vote was to leave. You should just leave and get on with it. But remember, Theresa May was against Brexit. She campaigned against it. And so she's basically ended up in this situation where she's got an agreement that no one supports, and it's very difficult to see how there's going to be any change from this other than what I fear that we're heading towards in the UK, which is a second referendum, if you can believe that.
Wow. So the Brexit movement was taking place similar in parallel with the Trump movement here in the United States. What, for the people who don't follow this on a daily basis, it seems like when, you know, the stories get big enough with Brexit, it comes back into our national news here. Remind us, what was the motivation behind Brexit initially in 2016?
Well, there's a simple point, which is that a country that's part of the European Union is not a sovereign country. The European Union law is superior to national law. And on top of that, you have a whole range of specific policies and regulations that are imposed on the members of the European Union, regardless of whether the people in each country support those policies. And the worst thing about it is that the people who drive the policy agenda in the European Union, they're not even elected. The policy-making force within the EU is called the European Commission. These are appointed bureaucrats. So the comparison I often make is, for our listeners, is in America, everyone's going to hate the federal government and wants more power for the states and local government, and I completely agree with that. That's one of the big things I've always argued for, is the decentralization of power. But at least in America, the federal government is elected. At least the president is elected. At least Congress is elected.
Yeah.
Within the European Union, it's not like that. You have unelected bureaucrats imposing policies right across the continent. And national parliaments elected by the people are often powerless to do anything about it. It is completely outrageous. And so it's something that people just... And then on top of that, you have specific policy areas that have caused a huge problem. And top of that list would be immigration, because one of the big issues, one of the foundational principles of the European Union is what they call freedom of movement. That means that anyone can move, as the name suggests, from one European country to another. Now, when it was just a small number of countries who are roughly the same level of economic development, France, Germany, the UK, and so on, that kind of made sense, you could argue. But now that the European Union is nearly 30 countries of vastly differing economic situations, it's become impossible, because what's basically happened is that, as you'd expect, millions of people have moved from the poorer countries to the richer ones. And that's bad in both directions. It means some of the poorer countries are losing some of their most enterprising and young and active people because they want to go and work in London or wherever it may be. Mm. And then, of course, in those countries where people are moving to, you've got, just as we're seeing here in America, a really big impact on particularly lower-wage workers because you've got people coming from poorer countries to compete for jobs, and that means that you've got an impact on people losing their jobs and their wages going down. So it's a very similar story as we've been experiencing here in America. So for all those reasons, people said, you know, we've had enough of it. We've got a chance to leave the European Union, set our own laws, control our own borders, and we want to take it.
Yeah. The similarities between the Brexit experience and what took place here in the United States and still is taking place are pretty stark. We're speaking with Steve Hilton, the host of The Next Revolution on Fox News. And also, you have a book out. It's called Positive Populism, Revolutionary Ideas to Rebuild Economic Security, Family and Community in America. And a lot of what you speak about, both in this book and often, especially when I get the chance to pull something that you said off Fox News and play it here because you're so spot on, is your identification of the elitist mentality that exists in both places and how prevalent that is, specifically with the election of Donald Trump in 2 years ago. There are people who still just can't believe that there are independent thinking Americans who would support Donald Trump and the policies he puts forth. What do you say to that now, 2 years into Donald Trump's administration?
Well, I think that you've got the big difference is that you had those two votes in 2016, Brexit in June and Donald Trump's election in November. But at least here in America, the vote was honored in the sense that the person, you know, Donald Trump became the president.
True.
Whereas with Brexit, it never happened. So this sounds like a crazy comparison, but in a way, one way of thinking about it, and when I say this, you'll understand why so many Brexit supporters are so angry. It's a little bit as if what's happening with Brexit is a little bit as if Donald Trump was elected, but the person who became president was actually Jeb Bush.
Mm.
That's kind of what's happening with Brexit. And so at least in the U.S., what we've seen, and despite the efforts of the establishment to undermine Donald Trump's presidency and to overturn the result, at least he's been able to implement some aspects of his agenda. And you've seen the result in a transformed economy, wages rising after decades of stagnation, jobs coming back, and so on. At least there's been some positive benefits. Of course, there's a lot more that we want to see done, not least the current argument about building the wall is a good example of that, where we want to see more progress. But there's at least something positive has happened, and at least the result, at least the person that won the election became the president.
True.
So that's the big difference, I think.
So one other thing I want to touch on before I let you go. In your book, Positive Populism, this is one of the things that I'm so very much drawn to. I have three young children, all under 10, and one of the keys that you talk about in these revolutionary ideas is focusing on a family atmosphere and mm-hmm. building the family back up. How important is that to rebuilding any culture, really?
I think it's the single most important policy issue. If you look at what happened with the breakdown of family in America and in other countries over the, you know, in right across the world, it's a phenomenon you're seeing certainly in the UK and elsewhere. It's such a disaster because it means that if children don't grow up in a stable, loving home, that can affect them for the rest of their life. And all of the things that we talk about and think about when we talk about politics and government, whether that's crime or welfare or people not having the skills they need, having a poor education, all the things that we then try and solve these problems later down the line, often using government intervention and spending billions and billions and billions of dollars to try and correct for these problems, a lot of them were started early on in life. And we've got so much science now to back that up, that the early years, particularly when kids are not even going to school, it's so important that they have the stable, loving family around them to set them up in the right way for life. And increasingly, that is just the norm is not to have that, where not just a question of couples and families breaking up, but never getting together in the first place.
Yeah.
It's a total disaster. It's a disaster socially and economically And we just don't talk about it enough.
I completely agree, especially with your last point about not talking about it enough. It's almost taboo to even bring it up, as if suggesting that a family unit is what's best for a child is somehow...
And this is what I argue in the book, is that, you know, and politicians have shied away from it because they don't want to look judgmental.
Yeah.
They don't want to start sort of commenting on people's lifestyle choices. And my argument is, well, okay, that's fine. I agree. I don't want to be judgmental. But it's not just the way I put it, we can't just privatize it. It's actually an issue of social responsibility, because we all end up paying for the costs of this social breakdown through our taxes and in other ways. And so we can't just ignore it. And I think politicians have to take it seriously. And it's not about lecturing people or telling them how they should live their life. It's just about some practical things you can do to make it easier for families to come together and stay together to raise their children. And some of it is highly practical, about the cost of living and housing and so on. And other times there are other practical things, like helping cope with the stresses of having a child. Particularly, you know, there's a really interesting piece of evidence, for example, research, which shows that, for example, most, you know, the peak age, the peak time for families to break up is in the first year after the birth of the first child. Mm. And that's a very understandable thing. It's incredibly stressful. You've never been through this before. It puts stresses on a couple, not sleeping, arguing, you know.
Yeah.
And we can help people with all of this. You know, there are things we can do. We don't just have to accept it. And I just think that, you know, making that more of a political priority could do so much to solve some of these problems and save a huge amount of taxpayer money and government intervention as well.
I think you're very wise to point that out, and I appreciate you being able to put that out there so that we can have that conversation. Steve Hilton, host of The Next Revolution on Fox News, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm going to encourage everybody to go check out Positive Populism, your book on this issue. It's definitely a must read, and we're grateful that you had some time for us today.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.